Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Scripture reading is from Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25. Isaiah was a Jewish prophet of the 8th century BCE who was writing in Jerusalem at that time, and this was during the rise of the Assyrian Empire. Here begins the reading. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my children shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
So when Bob found out, by the way, when you are clergy, your family, if there's a wedding or a funeral, you're kind of expected to go. You are their free participation as pastors. So that is why Bob is gone today, to celebrate, to go, as well as celebrate the life of, he was 95 years old, his great uncle. And so he was worshiping that service. And when he came to me saying, hey, babe, I have to go. What am I going to do about Sunday? I was like, well, I worked for a church for 10 years. I talk for a living now. We can give this a go. And I was excited because he said, we're going to talk about celebration. Celebration is the theme. I was really glad I didn't have last week. I didn't even know Haggai was a book in the Bible, to be honest. And the scriptures from Isaiah 26, 17 through 25. And I started out reading it, and it said, for I am about to create a new heaven and the earth. Awesome. God is doing a DIY project. And then it continues by saying, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. Even better, we are invited. Then it continues with going and saying, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. Aw, God just said he's proud of us. And then we hit verse 19b through 25. That instantly goes into crying and sorrow and mortality and fighting and lack of food. And I pause. Like I said, I've worked for a church for 10 years when I did, and my three biggest pet peeves, one was saying that the children are the future of the church. They're not the future, they are the now, they're invited now. The idea that heaven is a place that you get to go to. So you just, like, life's gonna suck up until you get that, but don't worry, it'll be better eventually. And it's a place that you earn instead of a place that we constantly live in and focus on the pain. And the third thing is the illusion that because God is working on this great thing, this great future of a heaven and earth, that he is doing a DIY project, that we are alone right now in our pain and grief. And the verse Haggai sounded really good about now. But it got me to think. Halfway through my children and youth career, I was told to plan a program. They told me to plan a program that would be interactive and bring joy to children for about an hour. And then I needed to plan a meal that came after for all of the people that interact with children. All right, I can do that. So I got race cars. I got those ones that you use the remote control. I created a track with tape. We baked cookies. One of the remote control cars broke, and the four-year-old then made it in a mechanic shop. And so he sat there and tinkered with it to try to fix it, and we came up with ideas of how we could fix it. And then we went out to lunch with all the youth workers. And there was eating, and there was beverages that we drank, and we enjoyed each other's companies. We told each other stories. We laughed out loud. We were put in the back room a little bit because we knew, like, there were going to be trouble. And fun was to be had. See, the thing that I didn't mention, though, was this program that I was planning was childcare for a funeral. We were devastated that we lost one of our youth. And so I had to, what do we do at a celebration with the kids? How can we empower joy in such a critical time? What do we do with the workers that have known this person since they were little? Now, there was laughter, was there tears? Absolutely. And I'm not saying that a funeral is anything to celebrate, but it is something that you can get glimpses of hope of the good of God, not just the sorrow of God. Now, if you are in the depth of grief and sadness right now, I see you. I understand that sometimes it is almost impossible to celebrate when you feel down, when you feel low, when you feel overwhelmed. Maybe the thought of celebration is too overwhelming to even allow yourself to go there. Because you're right, it's hard to celebrate a birthday party if you just experience a deep loss. It's hard to go to a baby shower if you're full of infertility as a family. And if you need to be mad at God, that's okay, because our God is big enough that he doesn't meet us just when we are celebrating, but he also meets us in the depth of our sorrow. Because God's love for you is unending, comes with no expectations, exceptions, restrictions, or guidelines. Doesn't matter if you're happy or sad. It is constantly there. But the thing to remember, it doesn't matter how you show up to the party or what's supposed to be a celebration, but know that you are not alone in this. Because while the scripture focuses on a new Jerusalem, a new greater place, that doesn't mean that God isn't in the now. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 77:14. It says, "You are the God that performs miracles. You display your power among the people." It doesn't say that you are the God that performed miracles. It doesn't say that you are the God that will perform miracles, that you will display, but the present tense that God is encompassing us and what we do and who we are and where we're at. As we transitioned of God meeting us where is at, sometimes when you are in that place that you don't feel like celebrating, it's hard to see where is the good. And so we're going to watch this short clip from the good old Mr. Rogers. I was a Mr. Rogers child. My mom learned how to make egg rolls from Mr. Rogers, so he's the coolest person. So we're going to watch this clip real quick.
You know, my mother used to say a long time ago, whenever there would be any really catastrophe that was in the movies or on the air, she would say, always look for the helpers. There will always be helpers, you know, even just on the sidelines. That's why I think that if news programs could make a conscious effort of showing rescue teams, of showing who medical people, anybody who is coming into a place where there's a tragedy, to be sure that they include that. Because if you look for the helpers, you'll know that there's hope. You know,
so when we talk about a place, a world, an environment that is full of love, grace, and hope, just like the following scriptures that highlight the things that might take that away from us, when we are in the deepest of sorrow, what do? We need to look for the helpers. Not only is this scripture shadowing what should be, it also is shadowing what could be, and the call to action that we have now. The scripture talks about houses to live in, vineyards to plant, food to eat, infants and old people living together, wolves and lambs, serpents and humans, predators and prey, living together in peace and harmony. This is what God intends for all of us and what our relationships should be. The scripture is not about celebrating the hope for the future, but the possibility for the present. It talks about the peace, acceptance, and community that we need to be striving for now. It talks about housing and food for all, lower mortality rates because people have access to healthcare, and communities building each other up instead of breaking each other down. It is no secret that this world is a hard place. I did leave ministry and I now work as a 911 dispatcher. Yes, I know, we ask a lot of questions, just answer them and we can all move on. But the thing that I've learned through this job, on a weekly basis, I will get a call. I got one a couple days ago from a woman who was an immigrant. She did not have status in this country, but she was in a very dangerous DV situation, domestic violence. And her husband seriously injured her. But she wouldn't let us come help her because she did not believe that we wouldn't care about her immigration status. She thought that we would come and take her away. So she insisted that she should make the report online. And it didn't matter what I told her, she didn't trust us. We can't respond to the people that need because we have now instilled fear in them. We have been given a beautiful world that we are flat out destroying because we refuse to be good stewards of the land. That somehow we have gotten to the point that the less fortunate in them eating is used as a political maneuver. And then whether it's their decision, their circumstance or not, we determine that somebody's worthiness of food depends on their status and their choices. We live in this world that we are breaking. But then we look to God to say, well, why isn't this heaven? We are creating the separation. We are creating the separation from the New Jerusalem and the Old Jerusalem, not God. God gave us the tools to be the helpful. God created the helpers. God's made you the helpers to go out and make the difference. So if it seems that when we look at this scripture, that has to be a place of the future, it can be a place of the now. we are creating the divide. But like I said, this scripture is not about celebrating the hope for the future, but the possibility of the now. And us recognizing that in celebration, everybody needs to be invited to the celebration. This reminded me of a story. I was in college. I went to Northern Arizona University, which is in Flagstaff, Arizona. Great school. And I went with my brother, and I got a call, and my brother was playing soccer, and he was goalie, and he got kicked in the face, so he got transported to the hospital. I don't know if you guys have seen 50 First Dates. It's about a movie that somebody loses their memory. That was like my brother. Every 15 minutes, his memory kind of relapsed, and he wasn't sure what happened. But I went to the hospital. He was cleared. We were in the process of taking him home. His roommate was there as well. And I got approached by somebody that said, hey, do you go to NAU? And I was wearing an NAU shirt, so I was like, yes. And she's like, great. I need a ride home. Okay. It's not that big of campus. Sure. Get on in. We'll send my brother in the safe care of his roommates, and I'll take you home. And I could see that she was holding a prescription in her hand. And I was like, do you need to fill that? Okay, yeah, we can fill it. Okay, no problem. We swung by the CVS. She got out, and within 2 minutes, she was back in my car. I was like, well, did you get your prescription? She couldn't even speak. She just shook her head. No. Can I ask you why not? I can't afford it. It was $17.42. So I reached in my wallet, I pulled out a 20, I handed it to her, and I said, go get your prescription. In that process, she told me, she filled with tears, and she told me, she's like, I was waiting at that hospital for 4 hours. I was discharged 4 hours ago, and no one would take me home. And the prescription that she was waiting for was for, she was in liver failure. People look at that story, and people think, I'm the one who should be celebrated. But really, she taught me. Both my sister and I have gone through many medical issues, and I have no idea what the cost of that is total, thanks to the generosity of my parents. But I never had to sit there and be like, how am I going to get home from the hospital? I didn't have to worry about the medications. They were given to me. I could celebrate the joy of giving because I had that $20 in my wallet. It still was hard for her. That $20 didn't make it better. But in the glimpse of the unthinkable, it provided hope not to just the person that receives, but the person that gives. And so I challenge you as we go forward into a world that isn't always perfect, I challenge you to find those things to celebrate. And if you can't find the things to celebrate, that you become the reason to celebrate. Amen.